Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, December, man. Train's rolling down the road, isn't it? That thing is rolling down the rails here, headed for 2019. I'm glad y'all joined us here this morning. Had a good weekend. A couple birthdays here in the Dobenmeyer family. Went bowling last night. When's the last time you ever went bowling? My daughter wanted to go bowling for her family, so we took all the little kids out there. It's really good, though, because you set up that big old... You know what I'm talking about? The ramp. It's not the ramp, but that... You set it up, and they drop the ball on, and they push it off this thing, and it rolls down, and we got the bumpers in there, and kids had a ball just bowling. So that was something we hadn't done in quite a while. It was good to do it. Probably some really good bowlers out there. Never got into it a whole lot, and so we had a great weekend. And man, I just so much going on, so much. I'm not going to go there. So I'm honored to have y'all join us. Yeah, here's what I've been chewing on all weekend. Just chewing on all, some guys sit around and they do productive stuff. I sit around and I analyze things. I don't know how my wife puts up with me. I want Mark Trump. Is he in here? I want Mark to know that just how my, I don't, is he down here? You're not in here yet. You'll probably get in here in a minute. Just my association with Mark Trump has just, man, has it made me think. And then I want you to also say, I caught about, I was busy on Saturday. I caught about 45 minutes of Lowell Morrison on with JR. Lowell, that's fascinating to listen to that. And I'm just constantly reminded of this, the giftings in the body of Christ that really, for the most part, never get a chance to be used. It's amazing. Now, Saturday night, one of those nights, I got our daughter, granddaughter, Reese, was part of a play at church. So we went. We were the proud grandparents. Got to go to watch it. And it was a great production. And you know me, I always see things differently. And they did it was little, young kids, probably, 9 years old and younger, maybe 10. They did a great production, singing, and they were talking about the truth of the gospel. That's really what the whole thing was supposed to be about. And I just found it so ironic that as I was sitting in there, I'm not bah humbug, okay? I'm sitting in there watching a play production on the truth of the gospel, and the Christmas story, as it's told, isn't even true. The way that it's told isn't even true. And after it was over, I said to Michelle, I don't know how she puts up with me, I swear I don't. As we were leaving, and it was a wonderful production. But the message sent during Christmas season is, does anybody know the message that is sent during Christmas season? Well, that's a broad question. It's love. It's all love. The story of the babe in the manger and how much Jesus loves you and he died for you and la, 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 la. And that is all true. That is all true. But I walked away and I said to my wife, golly, honey, it's just like another fairy tale. That's like, we teach Noah's Ark as a fairy tale, don't we? We teach the creation story as a fairy tale. We teach, what's the guy pulled down the pillars? What's his name? Samson. We teach that as a fairy tale. We teach the crucifixion as a fairy. Really, we do, right? And because we don't understand the depth of it and really the purpose for it, we don't do this on purpose. We pass on to our children lies. I look back on my own life. My faith was a series of lies as I was growing up as a child. I was raised Catholic, raised in a catechism. And most of what I taught was taught when I was in church as a young kid was not true. Was not true. Or at least was a version of the truth. It was clearly not the truth. I never, when I was growing up in church, I never ever heard that I was supposed to present my body a living sacrifice, that I would be crucified with Christ. Yet I would live, but not I. Christ would live in me. The idea of sacrifice, Christ sacrificed for me, I sacrifice for him. And that this whole thing that's going on is more than just individual Christianity, although individual Christianity is really, really important in having Christ in your life and being saved. But we so miss the larger picture. If we're not going to start teaching this to our children at a young age, if we teach our children fairy tales at a young age, can we be surprised that they do not grasp the gospel when they go to college? If they don't understand the war, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, that it's a cosmic battle, the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. If we don't emphasize that to our children at a young age, if it's just about Christmas and Santa Claus and fairy tales and flood, and if that's really all about, if it's just a Disneyland history of God and the creation of man, there's no wonder we're losing our kids. It's no wonder. And I don't have the solution for it. I really don't. But I can promise you this. Those who are the enemies of our soul, I bet those Muslim kids, I bet they're not sitting around been learning about singing Away in a Manger and talking about God died and loved everybody. I bet their kids are being trained to conquer and overturn the things of the Lord. So we need to take a really, really hard look at. Can I tell you the truth? I don't know if, as we're discovering here, I don't know if Christians really get the gospel. I don't know. I really don't know. Somebody come in here and amen me. I don't think Christians really understand. I don't think we really understand the gospel. Somebody.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, I'll come in here. Hey,
Go
coach.
Ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give you an example. I'm leaving work right now. I work third shift. And there's this real massive aggressive older man that I've developed a relationship with, and I've told him about you, and he said decades ago he stopped going to the church because of the BS from his words that and the fake phoniness, and I've told him about the huddles and the aggression that Coach Dave brings, and he walked in this morning, came straight to me with the intent of checking you out. I told him send the man an email. He wants to see if you're the real deal, and I told him about the huddle and abortion slaughterhouse thing that I was at a year and a half ago, and how we might be able to get another huddle out here in Lehigh Valley in PA. So, I mean, all I'm saying is there are men out here such as this gentleman that I just mentioned, yeah, that wants the real aggression of the church that Amen. Doesn't exist. Yeah.
Bobby, and you know, I'm thank God bless you, Bobby. Because listen, I'm telling you, I'm done with the patty cake Christianity. I'm just done with it. And it alienates friends. It alienates sometimes it alienates people in my family. They say, "Oh, Dad, you take everything so seriously." Gee, are you kidding me, man? Take everything so this is life and death stuff we're talking about here, man.
Dave,
say patty cake.
People don't understand about the gospel because they don't know what the gospel is.
They don't, Larry. They do not know what the gospel is. Go ahead, Roger.
Let's look at the statistics. Barna, I think, who's rather reputable, has said 80% of the evangelical kids leave the church at 18. The numbers are staggering. The kids that go through what we're doing, they don't remain in the church. They leave.
Mm-hmm. So, Roger, if we were to sit them down, if we were to go, I mean, really, folks, I don't know how we would ever do this, but if you would just do a survey of the people that you know claim to be Christians, ask them that very question at the beginning, what is the gospel? That would be unbelievable, wouldn't it, to find the answers on that thing? What is the gospel? And how about this? It would be like saying, okay, what is a cell phone? Okay, good. Great, that's a cell phone. Good. Okay, now, what's a cell phone for? What's a cell phone for? Now, you can give me a bunch of different answers. Say, well, in fact, Coach, you got all these apps on here. I'll see if I can get them up here, Coach. That's not it. Look, I got all those apps on there. Each one of those does something else. Okay, good. What's the gospel for? You say you know the gospel. What's it for? And that's where I think that's where I think it would really be exposed, because I think most people would say the gospel is for us to be saved. That's as deep as I think the average Christian would be able to go. And other than that, the gospel becomes, for the most part, life enhancement. I'm saved, and now I'm going to try to follow and love God and follow the laws and the rules of God. And as I do that, my life's going to be better. That's really where I think most Christians are. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. I believe, as Bobby was talking about, I believe there's all kinds of men in particular out there who are sick of what's going on. And they're Christian men, and they feel something, and they don't have any idea how to apply what they feel. They don't have any idea. So they get excited about the Buckeyes and Oklahoma and who should have got in that one and why that one didn't get in there. And they get all mad about Notre Dame's in there. And the overall aspect, I just turned 66. My life is running through that hourglass so fast. And I've been doing this for 25. What year is this? I've been doing it hard now for 18 years. I've been doing it for 30. I've been doing it hard and correctly for about 10. And I look at my son-in-laws. I look at my own family. I look around and say, oh my goodness, I wish I could do it all over again. I wish I could take what I know now and go back and build a life on this stuff beginning at age 30, 35 years old. And we're so missing it because those men are out there. They're out there. But that's where my heart is this morning.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Just this weekend, I had a brother-in-law stop by, and we was talking about that, and he was questioning. He quit going to church probably about 35 years ago. And raised in it as a teenager and all that stuff. And I gave him one of David Arthur's books before I left. I said, do you mind reading this? It's a short read. I said, I want you to read this book. And this is what the gospel is. It's about God transforming lives. And this book, I believe, demonstrates it so perfectly. And I said, it's not what you're going to be hearing and programs and all the fluff stuff at church. It's about transforming, taking people out of bondage, and setting them free.
Amen. You know, I was thinking, Denny, as you were talking there, one of the things that if I could pat myself on the back about anything, I was good at building broken programs when I was a coach. I could take a program that wasn't very good, and I always was able to make them better. Football, I did it in baseball, did it in girls' basketball. Always take a bad program and make it better. It's what we're all supposed to do, right? Take a bad program and make it better. So in order to do that, I can remember when I went into London High School, they were really down. They hadn't had a winning season in like 15 years. And I went in, and my first couple weeks there in London High School, as I'm walking the halls, I saw, my goodness, I saw all these football players. I saw all these bodies of football players walking the halls that weren't playing football. I thought, this is crazy. And so we went through the first year, and we were 3-7 that first year. We weren't very good, and I couldn't wait for the season to get over because I was going to go get some football players that weren't playing football. And I began to walk the halls, and I'd see these big guys. I'd go up to them and say, hey, man, how come you're not playing football? Hey, Doug, how come you're not playing football? He says, oh, Coach, I played it back through middle school, and I played it into my freshman year. But, man, I said, come on, man. Come on out. We need you. I said, can you do this? Yeah. You can clap. Come on. We need you. Come on. And we built our team. We get our numbers out there. But, see, here's the key thing. That's church building, folks. I was building a church. I was building a team. That's team building. But I'm going to tell you something. The team, you can put as many guys you want to in the locker room. But if you don't teach them how to go out and play, why do you even want them on the team? And so if you're running a church and you want to go out and you want to get more people to come in, why do you want to get more people to come in if it's just about, what, is it just about life enhancement? Are you recruiting me to be on this team, Coach, just so I can be a hand clapper? Is that what it is? Or ultimately, coach, do you want to teach me how to go out on that field and play? And or coach, is it, do you want me to come here? Because when I come in here and I become part of this church, now I'm safe inside this cage, and now the devil can't get me anymore. And thank you, coach, for building a great big cage, and we can all come and sin. Is that what it's supposed to be? But, folks, it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even make sense. I'm in Ephesians 6. It jumped on me when I walked down the steps today. Ephesians 6. It's just, oh my goodness. It's a matter of how you want to read it, right? Verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now stop right there. What would that be like? Just the power of his might. What would that be like? We can't even conceive of that, right? Why would he tell you to put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? Is it just so you are going to be safe and secure inside the cage? Is that what it is? Here, come in here, sit inside the church. We're going to give you a bunch of armor to put on. And when you leave here, you have a bunch of equipment on, and you just go out there the next 6 days. You go out there and you do whatever you want to in here. You got all this armor on, and nothing will hit you. And then you can come back here in 7 days, come back in here, and we'll shine it all back up for you. And then we'll send you out, and you're just on defense. You just stand out there and you let the devil swing away at you. But that's okay. It doesn't matter, because you'll be able to get back in here in 6 days, and we'll shine you all back up again and encourage you and send you back. Are you kidding me? Put on the full armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, what would spiritual wickedness be? What would that be? Is the devil after your finances? Are you telling me that when the devil rebelled against God, when the devil and 200 of his angels rebelled against God, when one third of the angels, when they fell, was it just because they wanted your finances? Is that what it was? Hey, listen, let's rebel against God. And let's go down to the earth and we'll steal people's money and we'll steal their joy and we'll steal their finances. This will be so good. Are you kidding me?
Your best life now.
And so we've countered that by thinking the battle is, Roger, the devil's after my best life now. So I'll put on all this armor and I'll be able to stand against the rulers of darkness. And therefore I'm going to take Verse 13, the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. How are you going to stand? You have your loins girded about with truth. Boy, what if we just started there? They've taught us so much it ain't lies. That is lies. Now that George Bush is dead, maybe we'll find out what happened in Dealey Plaza. Are you sick of the lies? Are you sick of the lies of 9-1-1 and the Federal Reserve and what's the name of it? Oklahoma City. You guys could help me right now, probably just run down a litany of lies that they've told us. Why we went into the Gulf War, why gas is so high, why the dollar is no good. It's all built upon lies. And they're telling us in the church, it's just about you. The devil's after your joy and your finances. And see, we ought to be building an army. When I go out and I recruit a football team to what? To engage and beat the enemy. When you go out and build a church, why do you build a church? To come in so they'll be safe inside the cage and just sit in there and give you money? Oh, man. And so, stay with me. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with, boys, you're putting on your football uniform, and you're not putting on your football uniform to sit on the bench. Now, in a real football game, not everybody gets in. It's only 11 guys. But everybody's got a uniform on. And for the most part, those other guys over on the sidelines, they're waiting to get in the game. They want to go play the game because that's why they signed up for the team. Now, some of them signed up so they could be on the team, so they could get girlfriends and get a date to the homecoming. Some of them do. Some of them are out there because mommy and daddy wanted them to come out there. They don't really want to be there. And I understand them. Some of them just want to put on their gospel clothes and be part of the church. They don't really ever want to play. But you know what's happened? There are those who are in the church or who have been in the church who put on their gospel, the gospel armor, and they want to go play. And nobody takes them to play. So they leave the church. And they hang on. And they leave the church in control of the sissy men, the sissy men, the men who act like women and the men who wish they were women and the men who are being conditioned to be women. That's what the church is full of. Is that George trying to get in? Go ahead, George.
Yeah, Coach, just a quick comment. You know, I don't know. I've been listening to your show, been with you for two and a half years, something like that. And since then, we haven't given a dime to the, quote, organized church.
Praise the Lord.
And I know, Coach, and I know since money is such a huge part of that whole system, I'm just going to tell you my experience. Our finances have not changed. They really haven't gone up or down since we stopped doing that. So I'm pretty convinced that it's not just a money issue when you go there and you're going to get blessed and prospered. You know, we haven't gotten millions of dollars extra when we were going to the church and not since we stopped giving.
George, it's just paper anyway. It's just paper. It's just paper. Man, I'm way off target where his head. Stay with me a second. Hey, Jared, go down there, and I want you to pull. This blew me away. I saw this. I got to show you guys this. This blew me away. Jared, go to, where is it? It says 45-minute mark, Jared. Pull that up there, that video up there, and go to the 45-minute mark. Folks, this is one of the most amazing things I've seen. Okay? We're going to start about right there, Jared. This is a church. I don't know much about it. This is a sermon the guy did on leftovers. People have come put money. They've got the bat. Just watch this. This is about. This is going to take us about 8 minutes, but it's going to be worth it. Go ahead, Jared. Tell me if this would ever happen in your church.
Here's what I want you to do. There's some money in these baskets. You get what you need for you and the kids to eat and get some gas. Go ahead, there's some 20s in here. And if y'all want to sow while they're doing it, you can. Go ahead. Are there any single? Are there any single fathers? Single fathers, you're raising your kids by yourself. Where are you, sir? You have primary custody of your kids. Where are you? Is that you? Come here, sir. Come here, sir. Come here. Here, that's the start. Get up under there. Get what you need for you and your kids. Here. No, no, no. Just the cash, not the envelopes. That's for you. Are there any widows here? Any widows? Any widows? Any widows? Jesus. She said, you blessed me this morning. I stayed to bless. Are you a widow? This is for you. Get what you need. Take that 100. Okay? Get what you need. Are you a widow? Come here. Get something else you need, whatever you need. Get what you need. Here you go, my dear. Are you a widow? Are you just in need? Get what you need. Only take what you need. Are there any veterans that don't have what they need to make ends meet? Any veterans that don't have what they need to make ends meet? Is that you, sir? Come here. You served our country. This church is going to honor that. There's some 20s right there. Get what you need. get what you need to eat, take care of yourself for a little while. Veteran, you a veteran? Veteran, you have a need? These people don't know what it took for me to do this. We are a 6-month-old church with no savings account. We believe God every week. But the Lord told me to do this because if I trust Him, whatever's left over will have to be enough.
Okay, you stop there, Jared. First of all, I just wanted to see that because for a couple of different reasons. I can't imagine this ever being done in the church. But at the end of the video there, he explained why, right? They're a 6-month-old church. And they're investing all of their money into the church. Salaries, PA systems, pews, not Rob pews. And, we started out a little bit late. He started out, first of all, asking for single mothers to come forward. It's unbelievable. And just think about how ineffective the church is because we love money so much. Church loves money so much. Money's needed. I get it. But see, what would have been better is for some of those people to start reaching in their own pockets and looking around the auditorium and saying, Lord, who would you have me to bless? Who would you have me to bless, Lord? There's a connection that takes place. I don't know how I got on that. I want to show you. I'm heading someplace this morning. Somebody come in there real quickly. Powerful man. Hey, go down.
Yeah, Coach, I just want to say that was one of the most powerful things I've seen. Had I been there and I knew those people, I would have emptied my pockets. Amen. And that's what it's meant to do. That's what a church is meant to do, an assembly, just yeah. What we saw there.
Yeah. Yep. That's where it's supposed to be. I'm reading what David wrote there. Hang on a second. David said, giving is wonderful. I'd be more concerned with what. It's true. David said, giving is wonderful, but I'd be more concerned what's being taught there. That's true. Oh, my goodness. Lord, help us. Hey, I've got to show you something. Let me put it in reverse here a minute. Let me back up. Jared, I made a big mistake on Friday. Actually, I'm not like Jared. Jared's juggling a lot of balls. I'm looking over here. Sometimes I'm looking at the screen. Sometimes I'm reading the chat over here. I'm not always real aware. And we were talking about Simon Owen on Friday, the guy, the Kiwi, the guy in New Zealand. And we put the wrong picture up. Jared, I sent you a couple links there. Jared, there he is. There's the Kiwi guy. There's Simon on. Hey, Simon. He sent me a little email. He joked, but he wasn't upset about it. Simon Owen said you had the wrong guy up on there. And I saw a little bit of the replay. I knew we had the wrong guy up there. So, Jared, this is just an honor of Simon Owen, who's really, really, he sent me another email, man, about Jubilees and about the Book of Enoch and how his eyes are being opened. And Mark Trump, he even mentioned you. And my goodness, Mark, you're really making me go deep. Maccabees, all that stuff. That's of course, it's in the Sefer that we just read the other day. Jared, in honor of Simon Owen, bring up the 1978 British Open, him against Jack Nicklaus. So you can see he's the real deal here. Yeah, it's only about a minute and a half. I found this clip. Nope, that's not it, Jared. I sent you the link. I sent you the link. Simon Owen, 1978. There we go.
St. Andrews, 1978. At the start of the final day, Tom Watson and Peter Oosterhuis led the way from Ben Crenshaw, Jack Nicklaus, and the New Zealander Simon Owen. Surprisingly, Watson, the defending champion, faded with a closing 76. Playing in the penultimate group with Jack Nicklaus, Owen made his move. The Kiwi seemed unfazed by the pressure as Nicklaus went all out to repeat his 1970 victory over the famous Old Course. Simon Owen's third at the par 4, 15th. With this chip, Owen took the lead. But it wouldn't last long, the American regaining pole position at the 16th. This for a birdie.
Simon, you can stop there, Jared. Simon, it took a Buckeye, Jack Nicklaus, to beat that Kiwi from New Zealand. And it's an honor to have you be one of our Salt and Light Brigade guys getting that thing up and running there in New Zealand. So apologies to Simon for putting the wrong guy up on the screen the other day. Cool? All right. Now, somebody want to come in here? That's all right. You don't have to. Missing Dale this morning. Dale would normally be piping in. You know what? I've come to how do I want to say?
I'll jump in here, Coach.
Go ahead, Bob.
Let me change gears just for a second. I stopped at Wawa, which is, you know, a gas food place just now. I'm just changing gears of discussion just for a moment. I just saw one of the biggest chemtrails I have ever seen. It's like it's blanketing the sky. There's multiple chemtrails crisscrossing each other. And I walked out. I looked at one guy. Does that look normal to you? And he looked up with kind of like a smile, that ignorant smile on his face. And then he passed another guy's car. And I'm like, look, does that look normal to you? And he's like, I know what that is. And I just let it lie. But it's just it's really taken my emotions to another level this morning that this is so huge right here, just so blatantly in front of our face. And not only do people not look up, when they do, they could not care less.
You're right, Bobby. So why is that, folks? Why is it? Let's say this. Let's say that Larry, Lowell, Bobby, Chris Kane, I'm reading names down here, Brian Cunningham, Chad. Chad's not even in there. Shame on Chad. I get on Chad. Craig, Denny, Bryant, Gary, Donahue, Jeff Nell, Glenn, Jim Kraft, Jared. We all know what's going on. We all know what's going on up in the sky. We all know they're poisoning our kids. We all get it. We all know what's going on with the GMOs. We get it. Well, how come nobody does anything about it? Why do we come on here and present evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence and nothing ever done about it? I mean, it amazes me. It just amazes me. Because ultimately, if we don't stand up and push back, listen, the guy down at the bar watching the Buckeyes, he ain't going to do it. He ain't going to do it. What? Why? I don't know. I'm all
over Coach.
The place. Go ahead, Jared. I'm all over the place. I apologize.
You know, after Black Friday, my dad had so many packages that I had to go on his FedEx truck and help him out. So materialism aside, we're slaves. I did that job for an hour. It's slavery. You tell me that's not slavery. They get a standard rate per day, hourly. They say it's hourly, but they're lying. And it's to deliver stuff, just more and more stuff. And it's... We're in this mindset. We're in slave mindset. I think we're much deeper into a slave type mindset than we even know because we're in it. It's our minds.
Yes, because Jared, what? First of all, your dad or whoever, when he goes to work, half of the money he doesn't even get to keep. He doesn't even get to keep it. They take it out in Social Security. They take it in taxation, gasoline tax, property taxes. Just figure it out. Half of what your dad makes, he doesn't keep. At least half of it. How long are we going to continue to put up with that? I mean, do we love our children or our grandchildren or not? I don't know. Yeah, Jennifer put down L.A. Marzulli. L.A. did a show the other day. I can't remember. Was it on Hagman? He was on Hagman. And L.A. Marzulli, whose house burnt to the ground in California, is blaming what? Yeah, chemtrails and high-energy weapons. L.A. Marzulli. And this isn't normal. There's no way this is normal. And that He said aluminum is an accelerant. In other words, make, oh well, tinfoil hat. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Jared, pull up the gospel of peace.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
In 1976, I sold life insurance. It was 1 in 4 Americans had the chance of getting cancer. Today, it's 1 in 2.
Why is that, Denny? Something's going on, isn't it, Denny?
Yes.
Something's going on, and somebody's not telling us the truth, right? Now, I came across this. I can't remember whether somebody sent it to me. If somebody sends things to me, I try to give credit. I cannot remember where I came across this, okay? What is Ephesians 6:15, which we were at? I never really got to the end of it, right? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? What is the gospel of peace? Isn't that what it says? And above all, I'm sorry, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The preparation of the gospel of peace. See, there's a lot of gospels, folks. There's a lot of gospels. So just give them the gospel, Coach. I say, okay, which one? Which one? Which gospel? Gospel of the kingdom of God? The gospel of salvation? The gospel of what? What's this say? The gospel of the preparation of the gospel of peace? There's a gospel of peace? So what is the gospel of peace? Ephesians 6:11 instructs believers in Christ to put on the whole armor. God is a defense against Satan's attacks. This armor includes a belt of truth. By the way, Lowell talked about boots the other day. The shield of faith, helmet of salvation. Verse 15, and with your feet shod, fitted with the readiness, comes from the gospel of peace. Now, the New Living Translation words it this way. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news that you will be fully prepared. The gospel of peace is the message that Jesus gave to those who trust in him. John 14:27 and Romans 10. Jared, what's Romans 10? Just click on that. Romans 10:5. What is that, Jared? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Jared, what does the other one say? What does John 14:27? Peace I live with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So what is the gospel of peace? It comes with the assurance from God that we are his children and nothing can snatch us out of our hands. It outlines clearly what is required to become a child of God. Any other message is a false gospel. Jared, 1 Corinthians 15:16. What is it? Click on that. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel. See? As different gospels, boys and girls. Of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. David, being saved, not saved, by the, which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered you. David, Jared, go to the next one. John 1:2. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right, or Larry, it says the power to become children of God. This is the gospel, the right to become one. And Romans 10 says, but what does it, see, I wish I'd use the King James. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you, hey, will be saved. Okay. So the word readiness implies constant vigilance. A victorious soldier had to prepare for battle. He had to have studied his enemy's strategy, be confident in his own strategy, and have his feet firmly planted so that he could hold his ground when the attacks came. A soldier's battle shoes, Lowell, were studded with nails or spikes. They were like cleats to help him keep his balance in combat. He knew that if he lost his footing and went down, it wouldn't matter how great the rest of his armor was because the enemy had him. So when we are ready with the gospel of peace, we live with the understanding that we are continually under attack from Satan. And listen, not just us individually, we are part of an army, right? Timothy says, what Jared had it up there, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine is what it says. It says to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. This is good. Keep going. So the peace shoes, God, what? A feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The peace shoes that God supplies his soldiers have two purposes, defensive and offensive. In order to defend ourselves against the flaming arrows of the evil one, we must have confidence of our position in Christ. We stand firm in the truth of God's word, regardless of how terrifying the circumstances may be. What's John 5:1-5 John, what's that say, Jared? And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Not if we just ask anything. We ask anything according to his will. We must understand grace without abusing grace, Romans 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Heaven forbid! God forbid! King James says, how can he who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Wow. We must understand grace without abuse. Remember that our position in Christ is not based on our own abilities or worthiness, and keep our belt of truth and breastplate of righteousness securely fastened. Come on down, Jaron. When Satan attacks you with a flaming missile of doubt, such as if God really loved you, he wouldn't let this happen to you. Well, we dig our peace shoes into the turf of God's word and reply, it is written. All things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Larry, that is faith towards God, that God will do what he says said he will do, and nothing more, right? And when Satan stabs us from behind with, oh, yeah, remember what you did, we dig in more deeply and reply, oh, yeah, but it's written, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. So in addition to standing our ground, our shoes are also for moving. God expects us to go on the offensive and take the gospel of peace to others. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Sharing our faith is one of the best ways to maintain our own sure footing. God knows that. When we are active in speaking of him to others, we not only charge into Satan's territory, but we dig our shoes more deeply into the truth, and we're going to be much harder to dislodge. When we have studied to show ourselves approved unto God, we are ready to stand firm in the gospel of peace, no matter what the enemy brings against us. The gospel of peace. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel peace. Unbelievable. All right, let me get my computer. I got something else I got to show you here. Somebody come in here. Somebody's got something to say about that, don't they?
Coach, I do.
Go, Jeff.
Hey, last night I was at the house here that we're using to put some of these Christian men up in, or not Christian men, sorry. The guys who run the house here in the area. And it seemed to be good in the beginning, but as I'm in there now more, I'm finding out they do not have much structure with this thing. They got one guy out, got caught with meth the other night. Another guy was drunk one night. I mean, just on and on and on. And I'm standing talking to the pastor's wife last night in the kitchen, me and Mary Jane. And she's talking about now they're taking these guys. They're doing a little study on the full armor of God. And she's amazed at it. But then she tells me some woman wrote the book and the woman's teaching it. And she's taking the men to learn how to put on the full armor of God. I asked this question. I said, now, let me ask you this question. I said, how many Christians really put on that love your God? They read it, they hear about it, but none of them want to be able to fend off them fiery darts. Because it was just, and I'm standing in this house thinking, oh my gosh, things are chaotic here. And then up to the guy down in the basement, new guy I never met down there yet. He's drinking. His wife ain't with him. The kid has been taken away. He's walking around with the earpiece in his phone, cussing his wife or girlfriend, whatever she is, all the time, they said. So I asked him last night down in the basement. I cornered him down there. I said, do you claim to be a Christian? He said, oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, my. So we went into that discussion. But it's just nuts.
He's demon-possessed.
Yeah.
He's demon-possessed.
It's crazy.
The doctor, Dominia. Yeah, Rog.
Well, two things. One is the issue of sharing our faith. I think in the modern church today, that is the mantra. Share your faith. Share your faith. But it stops at the cross for them. Nobody wants to share the faith of the Old Testament. Nobody wants to share the faith of the book of Acts. It's the sharing of the gospel message, salvation, the cross, sin, which is also very important. I get that. I understand that. But the sharing of one's faith seems to end there. Seldom do you hear the sharing of the faith that sounds like this. If you continue doing that, the wrath of God is pretty clear what's going to happen.
Roger, let me take it another step further. I'm going back to my football team, right? I go back to my football team. Those guys that are on the football team, I tell them this. Hey, dude, we're counting on you. We're counting on you to win this game. This just ain't about you having your best life now here on this football. It's not about you getting a bunch of yards. It's not about you catching a bunch of passes. It's not about making a bunch of touchdowns. Brother, this is about you contributing to the overall team here and how together we're going to be able to defeat our enemy. See, we look at it as defeating our enemy personal. We never get the broad spectrum that we are supposed to do what? We're supposed to occupy till he comes. We're supposed to trample over all the works of the evil. That's what we are supposed to do. We are a team. But we teach individual Christianity. Psalm 91, Jared. Psalm 91.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I just want to say a couple things here. It shows you the fallacy of our modern-day Christianity, what they're teaching, just like you're talking about. But I don't know. It's just funny. I just thought of Theodore Roosevelt, walk softly and carry a big stick.
Mm-hmm.
That's what technically, as Jesus says, I come in the peace. I give you peace, not as the world gives you.
Right.
So that's what we're supposed to do. And it's so many times, it's just like you said, they're just teaching, your best life now, your personal finances and all that. And it's not the fact that you've got wickedness in high places. And I saw something yesterday on Skywatch TV, and they talked about our government and the foundation and some of the stuff they do. It's wicked. we don't want to detail about it, but it's wicked.
Yeah, and we accept it, Paul. The church doesn't push back against it at all. Now I'm gonna set you free here this morning, okay? Well, I think I am. It's gonna set me free. It has set me free. Okay? Look here. He that dwelleth, time out. Jared, go to Webster. Dwell, that'd be good. Dwell. To abide as a permanent residence. Do you hear my mic just drop? To abide as a permanent residence. Or to inhabit for a time. To live in a place. To have a habitation for some time or permanence. So Jared, he who dwells abides as a permanent, he that has a permanent dwelling in the secret place of the Most High lives under the shadow of the Almighty. When you are dwelling in the Lord, you are in a secret place. Hey, not to hide. Oh my goodness, Lord, help us to see. Not to hide. Not about hide and seek. He that permanently lives in the Lord abides under his shadow. You live under the shadow. See, this is different. When you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, it isn't a place you go into and come out of. It's an imp you go in, and that shadow is always covering you wherever you go, if you're dwelling in it. Now, you can walk out from under it if you want to, but if you're dwelling in it, it goes everywhere. That shadow goes with you everywhere you go. And you'll say, yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to, Ken Sundermeyer from Cleveland, just wanted to put a word of prayer in for the heartbeat, Bill.
Thanks, Ken. Been praying for it. Hey, Ken, I've been praying against abortion for 15 years. Let's do something about it. I will save the Lord. He is my refuge. Listen, you don't run in and out of the covering of the Lord. You dwell in the covering of the Lord. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. When you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, you can go anywhere. And he's with you. Why? Because he's going to deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He's going to cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall I trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Why? Because I'm dwelling under it. I'm not walking in and out. I'm not watching porn 1 minute and reading the Bible the next. I'm not going to the Buckeyes again, engrossed in the Buckeyes game, and all my life be about the Buckeyes game, and then be a Christian when the game's over. That's not dwelling in it. I'm not saying you can't watch the Buckeyes. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. So you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Verse 5, so then you're not going to be afraid of the terror that flies by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Didn't mean you run back in under the cover. You're dwelling in it. You're not going to be afraid of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor you're not going to be afraid of the destruction that comes at noonday. And you're going to stand there, you're going to see 1,000 fall to thy side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it ain't going to come near you. Why? You're dwelling under that shadow. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. That's where I live. And because I live under there, because I don't come and go and run in and then run out and run in and run out and run in and run out, because I live there, no evil's going to befall me. Neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. Why? What's your dwelling? You're in the secret place of the Most High. Verse 1, you're in the secret place of the Most High. And so what happens then? Well, he gives his angels charge over you. Why? Because you're dwelling. Oh, my goodness. To keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest they dash thy foot against stone. You begin to fall into sin. You're in, realize where you are. You have come to your cover. Turn to the Lord. Get your eyes off the circumstances. Turn to the Lord. Because you're on that, you're going to walk right on top of the lion and the adder and the young lion and the dragon. You're going to trample them right under your feet because he set his love upon me. His love's upon you. It's put on you. Therefore, well, he's going to deliver him. And I'll set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I'll answer him, and I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long last I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. But, Jerry, we got to go back to verse 1.
But knowing his name, Dave, knowing his name is more than just being saved.
You got to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Now, listen, folks, it ain't secret. It ain't secret like, I got a secret to tell you. I got a secret. No, no. To dwell means you're in a place that nobody else can get to. You're in a secret place of the Most High. When you dwell there, all this other stuff comes upon you. And so when you're doing that dwelling, he says, listen, when you go out there, you better put on the armor. He says, listen, I got you covered. But that enemy, he's going to shoot some darts at you. But you're going into the war zone. And even though I got you covered, hey, better put on this armor and go out there. Because, man, there's going to be stuff coming at you from the front. Hey, ain't going to come from the back, though, because I got your back. I got your back going forward. So we teach this, I believe, we teach this verse, this chapter, this psalm, as if we run in and out of it. Oh, I'm in trouble. Pardon me a second. I'm going to run back here to the Lord. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. Come on in.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Expanding on this, you're into a key area here. Drawing on Ephesians again, which is Paul's analogy of full armor as he saw the Roman legion. Okay. How did they fight? They didn't run out in front of the line. They locked shields, the shield of faith. They formed a shield wall. Left and right was your brother. Nobody stepped out in front of the line. You advanced as a team, as an army. They were the original teamwork. They were a machine.
Look at your screen. When they clashed shields. I don't even see your screen. Look at the screen. Wow. Go ahead, Lowell.
Yeah, when they hit the opponent's shield wall, they dug their toes in that gospel of peace because that gave them the surety that God was with them. That's where it connected them to the good earth. Then their sword of truth, the word of the Lord, would dart out in between those shields and strike the enemy home. They didn't do it alone. To be an army, not knights, running out there swinging on our own.
That's right, Lowell. And unfortunately, that picture that's on the screen right now, most of Christendom would criticize you for having a spear. What are you doing fighting back? Who are they fighting against here, I wonder? Who are we wrestling?
Yeah, when they closed with the enemy, it was that short sword. The enemy didn't fear those spears. They feared that sword.
Amen, man.
Coming out between those shields. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's good. That is so good. That's so good. My goodness. So we're misteaching the gospel. See, this will fill the church. See, our whole purpose, Lord, the whole purpose is to die for the Lord. See, if you've been crucified with Christ, you're already dead. In fact, didn't Jesus say something about abide in me and I will abide in you? I think it says that somewhere, doesn't it? I think it does.
John 15.
John, abide. Huh? John 15?
Yeah.
Four. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. And if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. Some fruit inspection coming along here at some point, boys and girls. Some fruit inspection. Oh, how did we get it so wrong? How did we get it so wrong? What do we have? Somebody help me wrap this up.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
You ask, how did we get it so wrong? I think it's like every society that has gotten prosperous and where prosperity has become the god, that's how it becomes wrong. Because with prosperity, it really is much harder to keep our focus on the true living God. It's so easy to get, focus on everything else, the entertainment, the luxuries, the pleasures, the cares of this life. And we've been warned by many godly men and prophets that it's that prosperity that ultimately can lead to your demise if it's used wrongly.
Jared, pull up that video I just sent you. It's that ungodly affluence. That's right. People don't want to lose their stuff. They don't want to lose their stuff. Lowell just sent this to me. What's it say, Lowell? Let me see here. If Lowell sent it, it's worth seeing.
That's how the Roman army fought.
Go ahead and play it, Jared.
You got to go back to the beginning.
Go to the beginning, Jared.
It's only a minute long. There's his helmet.
It was a breastplate.
There's the
There's the shield clock. Fake. There goes the sword of truth. And they're operating as a team. You're going to see something else happen here. The first rank gets tired. And they cycle back. Another man takes the place. You've always got a fresh man in battle.
Jared, you can stop
something
that.
Else important is going to happen here.
Oh, keep going then, Jared. Oh, keep
something else. A lesson. One guy gets upset.
Puto formation.
And he runs out of formation.
Single formation.
You can stop it there. So a man gets out of formation and he puts everybody else at risk because the strength is in that shield wall, your faith, locked together with your brothers.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides in the shadow of the Mighty. Wow, we got a lot to learn. God bless you. See you tomorrow.